ويقول الذين كفروا لولا أنزل عليه آية من ربه. Those who disbelieve say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? People who don't want to obey will always find excuses. Well, you know, if the Quran were to move me and I don't feel ready for Salat, and the day that I feel ready for Salat, then I'll start praying. Otherwise, I feel like a hypocrite. Those who disbelieve say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Tell them, indeed Allah sends astray whom He wills and guides to Himself those who turn to Him. People who say, if Allah wished, I would feel like praying. If Allah wished, I would feel like reading the Quran. Guidance is in Allah's hands. When Allah wants to guide me, He'll guide me Himself. Highlight these words. يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Allah guides towards Himself the one who seeks Him. It is beneath Allah's dignity to do otherwise. Allah tells us in a hadith Qudsi, when my slave draws near me by a hand's span, I come near to him by an arm's length. When my slave walks towards me, I go towards him running. But we have to take the first step. Alladhina amanu. Who are those who seek Allah? Those who have iman. Well, we have iman too, don't we? We're also Muslims. We've also said La ilaha illallah. But there's a further criteria being defined. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Their hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Know that it is in Allah's remembrance that hearts find peace. In other words, it's not enough just to say, well, I have iman and Allah knows how much I love Him. The true criteria is whether we find peace in Allah's remembrance or not. Now, what is Allah's remembrance? People say, oh, Allah knows how much I love Him. That's not enough. The criteria is whether we find our heart's contentment, our heart's delight in this zikr. See, there are different aspects of zikr. One aspect of zikr is tasbih, when we are glorifying Allah. Now, how do we glorify Allah? Subhanallah, 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 and we're not even thinking about it. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Purity is half of iman. Walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. Alhamdulillahi fills the balance. It fills the weights. When we say it with love, when we say it with sincerity, the reward for that fills the balance. Wasubhanallahi walhamdulillahi tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. Subhanallahi and alhamdulillahi fill up all that is between the heavens and the earth. That's one aspect of zikr. Then there's another aspect of zikr. When we talk to Allah in our heart, when we have conversations with Him, what did Yaqub alayhi salam say? Innama ashku basi wa huzni ilallah. I'm pouring out my pain, my grief before Allah. Remember the hadith about the 7 different people who will be under Allah's shade on the day where there is no shade. One of them will be a person who remembered Allah alone and his eyes brimmed over with tears. Not that we're showing people how much we cry when we hear Allah's names. No, he's remembering Allah in solitude. There's no one there. And his eyes brim over with tears for love of Allah, for fear of Allah. That's another kind of zikr. There's a third kind of zikr when we speak of Allah aloud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that I am according to my slave's concept of me and I am with him when he remembers me. When he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in my heart. And when he remembers me aloud, I remember him aloud in a company better than his. We find in this beautiful hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى مَلَائِكَتَي يَطُوفُونَ فِي الطُّرُقِ. Indeed Allah has teams of angels who go about on the roads. يَلْتَمِسُونَ أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Seeking those who remember Allah. فَإِذَا وَجَدُوا قَوْمًا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. When they find some people remembering Allah, whether by reading this Quran, or by reading the Sunnah, or by just simply glorifying Allah aloud, تَنَادَوْا. They call to one another and say, come to what you are looking for. And they surround them with their wings, till the space between them and the lower sky is fully covered. And in another hadith we find, and peace descends upon the people. And that explains that extraordinary feeling of serenity you sometimes get when you're listening to the Quran. Then Allah asks them, although He is best informed about everything, Ma yaqulu ibadi, what are my slaves saying? And Allah asks so he can have the joy of listening to their reply. قَالَ يَقُولُونَ يُسَبِّحُونَكَ وَيُكَبِّرُونَكَ وَيَحْمَدُونَكَ وَيُمَجِّدُونَكَ. The angels reply, they are glorifying you, they are praising you, they are remembering your greatness. فَيَقُولُ هَلْ رَأَوْنِي, Allah will ask, have they seen me? قَالُوا, they will say, لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَوْكَ, no indeed they have not seen you. Then Allah asks, كَيْفَ لَوْ رَأَوْنِي, how would they be if they had seen me? فَيَقُولُونَ لَوْ رَأَوْكَ كَانُوا أَشَدَّ لَكَ عِبَادًا وَأَشَدَّ لَكَ تَمْجِيدًا وَأَكْثَرَ لَكَ تَسْبِيحًا. They will reply, if they were to see you, they would engage more earnestly in worshipping and glorifying you, and they would praise you even more. Then Allah will say, what do they ask of me? The angels say, they ask you for paradise. Allah says, have they seen my paradise? The angels say, no, our Lord. Allah says, how would they act if they were to see my paradise? يَقُولُونَ لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَأَوْهَا كَانُوا أَشَدَّ عَلَيْهَا حِسَّةً وَأَشَدَّ لَهَا طَلَبًا وَأَعْزَمَ فِيهَا رَغْبًا. The angels reply, were they to see it, they would be even more intense for it. They would be even more eager in seeking it. They would yearn for it even more. The angels say, they seek your protection. Allah asks, against what do they seek my protection? The angels say, from the fire of hell. Allah says, have they seen the fire of hell? They say, no, by your honor, they have not seen it. Allah says, how would they act if they were to see my fire? The angels say, if they were to see it, they would be more intense in being away from it. وَأَشَدَّ لَهَا مَخَافًا. They would be more intense in their fear. And then the angels say, they beg of your forgiveness. And Allah says, فَأُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. Allah says, I call you to witness that I hereby forgive them and confer upon them what they ask for and grant them protection against what they seek protection from. One of the angels says, O our Lord, there is amongst them such and such slave who does not belong to the assembly of those who are remembering you. He passed by them and sat down with them. A person who was just passing by a Quranic gathering and sat down with them. And Allah says, I forgive this person as well because these are the people whose companions will never be unfortunate. This is the glory of remembering Allah, especially in a company. On another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ said, when a group of people assemble for the remembrance of Allah, the angels surround them with their wings. Allah's mercy envelops them and tranquility descends upon them and Allah mentions them before those who are with Him. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, iman is not enough. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Now we've all attended Quranic gatherings, but sometimes we should analyze ourselves that when we are listening to the Quran, when we are listening to Allah, how do we feel? Do we feel at peace? Do we feel joyous? Or do we feel bored? Or do we wish that we were at home sleeping right now? تَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Their hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu qulub. And indeed, hearts only find peace in the remembrance of Allah, the one relationship in which we can find peace and strength constantly. Now we find that there is another aspect of zikr, and that aspect is salat. As Allah says in the Quran, aqim is salata li dhikri, establish salat for my remembrance. Now I'd like to read out this experience that this convert had when he read his first salat. On the day I converted to Islam, the Imam of the Masjid gave me a manual on how to perform Salah. Take it easy, the Muslim students urged me. Don't push yourself too hard. It's better to take your time. I was surprised by their concern. How hard could it be to pray, I wondered. That night, I decided to start performing the 5 prayers at their appointed times. I sat for a long time on my couch, studying and rehearsing the prayer postures. Much of what I was saying would be in Arabic, so I had to memorize the Arabic transliterations. I pored over the manual a couple of hours before I felt confident enough to attempt my first prayer. It was close to midnight, so I decided to perform the Isha prayer. I walked into the bathroom and placed the manual on the sink counter, with it open to the section describing how to perform wuzu. Like trying a recipe for the first time, I followed the instructions step by step, slowly. When I finished washing, I shut off the tap and returned to the living room. Standing in the center of the room, I aimed myself in the direction of Makkah. I glanced back over my shoulder to make sure I had locked the door to my apartment. Finding that it was, I then looked straight ahead, straightened my stance, took a deep breath, raised my hands to the sides of my face, and then in a hushed voice I pronounced, Allahu Akbar. I hope no one heard me. I felt a little bit anxious. I couldn't rid of myself of the feeling that someone might be spying on me. Then I suddenly realized that I had left open the curtains of the living room window. What if a neighbor should look in and see me, I thought. I stopped what I was doing and went to the window. I glanced around outside to make sure no one was there. To my relief, the backyard was empty. Carefully, I pulled the curtains closed and returned to the middle of the room. Once again, I stood and whispered, Allahu Akbar. In a barely audible tone, I clumsily recited the first surah of the Quran and another short surah in Arabic. I then quietly said another Allahu Akbar and bowed. I had never bowed to anyone before and I felt embarrassed. I was glad that I was alone. While still in the bowing position, I repeated several times the phrase, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Then I stood up and recited, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. I felt my heart pounding and anxiety mounting as I meekly called out another Allahu Akbar. I had arrived at the moment where I had to perform a sajda. Petrified, I stared at the area of the floor in front of me. I couldn't do it. I could not get myself to lower myself to the floor, to humble myself with my nose to the ground. It was as if my legs had braces on them that would not let me bend. I felt too ashamed and humiliated. I could imagine the snickers of friends watching me make a fool of myself. Poor Jeff, I could hear them saying, he really went out of crazy in San Francisco, didn't he? Please, please help me do this, I prayed. I took a deep breath and then forced myself to the floor. Now on my hands and knees, I hesitated for a brief moment and then I pushed my face to the carpet. Ridding my mind of all other thoughts, I mechanically pronounced three times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. I had to wrestle with my emotions and pride the rest of the prayer, but it got easier with each cycle. I was almost calm during the last prostration. While in the final sitting posture, I ended the prayer and turned my head to the right and then again to the left. Spent, I remained on the floor and reviewed the battle I had just been through. I felt embarrassed that I had had to struggle so hard to get through the prayer. With my head lowered in shame, I prayed, Please forgive me my arrogance and stupidity. I have come from very far and I have so very far to go. At that moment, I experienced something I had never felt before. A wave of what I can only describe as coldness swept through me, which seemed to radiate from some point within my chest. It was rather intense. Initially, I remember shuddering. However, it was much more than a physical sensation, for it affected my emotions as well. It was as if mercy had taken on an objective form and was now penetrating me. I cannot say why, but I began to cry. Tears began to run down my face, and I found myself weeping uncontrollably. The harder I cried, the more I felt the embrace of a powerful kindness and compassion. I was not crying out of guilt or shame or joy. It was as if a dam had been unblocked, and a great reservoir of fear and anger within me was being released. I remained on my knees, crouched to the floor with my head in my hands, sobbing for some time. When I finally stopped crying, I was exhausted. The experience I had just had was for me too overwhelming to try and rationalize at that moment. I did realize this much, however, I needed God and prayer desperately. Before getting up from my knees, I made a last dua. O Allah, if I ever gravitate towards disbelief again, then please kill me first. Rid me of this life. It is hard enough living with my imperfections and weaknesses, but I cannot live another day denying you. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Only in Allah's remembrance do hearts find peace. Alladhina amanu, those who have iman, wa amilu salihat, and do good deeds. Iman in itself is not enough. We need good deeds. Tuba lahum, for them is happiness. Wa husnu ma'ab, and a beautiful place of return. We find that when Hazrat Khadija died, radiallahu anha, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about her, he said, the gist of which was that I saw her in a house made of pearls, near a stream, wherein is no noise and no fatigue. That is beauty. That is the beautiful place of return. Thus have we sent you to a community before whom other communities have passed away, in order that you might recite to them what we have revealed to you, while they disbelieve in the most gracious. Say, Huwa Rabbi, la ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa ilayhi matab. He is my Lord. None has the right to be worshipped but He. Worship means obedience. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. Alayhi tawakkaltu. In Him is my trust. Wa ilayhi matab. And to Him will be my return with repentance. ولو أن قرآنا سيرت به الجبال أو قطعت به الأرض أو كلم به الموتى بل لله الأمر جميعا. And if there had been a Quran with which mountains could be moved from their places, or the earth could be cloven asunder, or the dead could be made to speak. In other words, when people make excuses and instead of taking the Quran, they want these kind of miracles. Allah tells us, بَلِّلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. The decision of all things certainly is with Allah. In fact, according to a recent discovery, the Quran is actually contained within our DNA. This is a recent discovery made by Muslim scientists, and up till now he's discovered 10 siparas of the Quran within our DNA. Have not those then who believed yet know that had Allah willed, he could have guided all mankind. And a disaster will not cease to strike those who disbelieve because of their evil deeds, or it settles close to their homes until the promise of Allah comes to pass. Indeed, Allah does not break his promise. The truth of the matter is, people who don't want to obey Allah will always find excuses. وَلَقَدِ اسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Allah reassures the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, many messengers were mocked before you, but I granted respite to those who disbelieved, and finally I punished them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عِقَابِ. Then how terrible was my punishment. And we read Surah Hud yesterday. Is then Allah, who takes charge of every person and knows all that he has earned, like any other deities who know nothing? Yet they ascribe partners to Allah. Qul sammuhum, say name them. Is it that you will inform him of something he knows not in the earth? Or is it just a show of false words? Nay, to those who disbelieved, their plotting is made beautiful, and they have been hindered from the right path. And whom Allah sends astray, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادِ. For him there is no guide. For them there is a torment in the life of this world, and certainly harder is the torment of the hereafter, and they have no defender against Allah. We need to understand that Allah has said that those people who claim supernatural powers, who claim knowledge of the unseen, are actually not just committing shirk, but Allah exposes them and says that they are plotting. In other words, that generally when people claim that they have, you know, knowledge of astrology, or that they can tell your future or read your palm, what is the reason that they're doing it? To help mankind? No, because they want money from you. They want you to be so dependent upon them that you can't take a step without consulting them, without rewarding them. Allah exposes such people. We read in the account of the prophets that what were all the prophets saying? I do not ask of you any reward for it. That is the difference between a true prophet and an imposter. The imposter always wants something, whether it's praise, whether it's money, whether it's people to be dependent on him, whether it's adulation or admiration, or that people, you know, are coming to him for predictions. And the prophet wants nothing. In ajriya illa ala Allah. What do all the prophets repeatedly say? My reward only belongs to Allah. Allah says, whom Allah sends astray, for him there is no guide. Now, I mentioned earlier as well that these days there's an Islamic chain letter which is circulating on the net. And in that chain letter, they claim that it's about a dream that the watchman of the Prophet's mosque saw. And they say at the end of the letter that if you don't make 20 copies of this letter, then one man didn't and he died in 9 days. And that's shirk. And that's shirk in the name of Islam. Because someone actually presented Al-Huda with 20 copies. And they must have thought that, you know, let me save myself from certain death. Allah says, whom Allah sends astray, for him there is no guide. Allah is warning us, whether shirk is conducted in the name of Islam or in the name of kufr, it's a plot. And it's a plot devised by shaitan to take mankind away from Allah, to bring him out of light into darknesses. And for such people is a torment in this world, and certainly the hereafter's torment is even greater. And they have no defender against Allah. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. The description of the paradise which the Allah conscious have been promised. Underneath it rivers flow. Its provision is eternal, and so is its shade. This is the end of the Allah conscious. And the end of the disbelievers is the fire. Now the choice is ours. What do we want, Jannah or Jahannam? Those to whom we have given the book rejoice at what has been revealed to you. But there are among the confederates those who reject a part thereof. Say, I am commanded only to worship Allah alone and not to join partners with him. إِلَيْهِ أَدْعُو وَإِلَيْهِ مَآبُ. To him alone I call, and to him is my return. وكذلك أنزلناه حكما عربيا. Thus have we sent this Quran as a judgment of authority in Arabic. And if you were to follow their desires after the knowledge which has come to you, then you would not have any protector or defender against Allah. Who is being addressed here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he being told? That after this Quran has been given to you, then if you turn away and follow people's desires. Now Allah has not said whether these desires are the desires of your family or your friends or your spouses. Allah says, were you to follow their desires? In other words, when we start following our whims, our own likes and dislikes, rather than the knowledge which has come to us, then we will have none to save us from Allah. We need to understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being addressed so that his ummah could take heed. Not because na'uzu billah he was going to start following people's desires. The message is for us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Indeed, we sent many messengers before you, and we made for them wives and offspring. People were always objecting, well, why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have so many wives? We find Muslims nowadays as well who laugh at the fact that he had so many wives. Na'uzu billah. Allah says, we sent messengers before you, they too had wives and offspring. See, the message is clear that prophets too are human beings. They're not gods that we should start worshipping. And we find this concept still exists today. People want religious people to renounce the world completely. That if someone is religious, they shouldn't wear good clothes or they shouldn't live in a grand house. They should give everything up for Allah's sake. Allah says, this is an unnatural state of affairs. They're human beings. They had human needs as well. They lived normal, balanced lives, and that's how they could become an example for us. Otherwise, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had lived a life of chastity, you know, not taking a wife and giving up food altogether, it would have been very difficult for us to follow him. The majority of people couldn't have followed him. Allah tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. There is for you a beautiful example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason for that is because he lived a normal life. And it was not for a messenger to bring a sign except by Allah's leave. For every matter there is a decree from Allah. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. Allah blocks out what He wills and confirms what He wills. And with Him is the mother of the book. And this is Lawh-e Mahfooz. Whether we show you part of what we have promised them or cause you to die, your duty is only to convey the message. وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. And on us is the reckoning. Again and again Allah reminds us, it's not for us to pass judgments, it's not for us to assume, oh, she's not even going to listen to me, so why should I even try? We have to convey the message, and then Allah will take the hisab from people. Do they not see that we reduce the land from its outlying borders? And Allah judges, there is none to put back His judgment. وَهُوَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابُ. And He is swift at reckoning, and indeed those before them devised plots. But all planning belongs to Allah. He knows what every person earns. And the disbelievers will know who gets the beautiful end. And those who disbelieve say, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not a messenger. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Say, sufficient as a witness between me and you is Allah, and those two who have knowledge of the book.